Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, quick one before we get into the episode. This episode is sponsored by Zencastr, which is the production suite that I've used from the very beginning of this podcast. And if you're interested in starting your own podcast, hang around at the end of the episode for our 30% discount referral code. Thanks.
So our podcast is called Right and Wrong.
Are these your notes? These your notes about what we're going to say?
Anything. Nailed it. It's a short answer.
So how many novels did you not finish?
Oh my God, so many.
It was perfect. What is she talking about? This is nonsense.
Ooh, a spicy question. I love it.
This is it, guys. The big secret to getting published is you have to write a good book. You heard it here first. We're going to
Hello and welcome back to the Right and Wrong podcast. I'm Jamie, and this week we're getting another glimpse behind the curtain of publishing as I'm joined by long-term friend of the show and up-and-coming publishing superstar, Eleanor Rose. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks. And thanks for the nice intro. Oh, definitely overselling me.
Don't be ridiculous. You're a superstar in the making. So when we last spoke, which was a little over a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
You were, I think, about a year into your role as a production assistant at Bloomsbury.
Yes.
But a lot's happened since then. What are you up to nowadays?
So I've gone completely different direction. I now work at a different company in a different role in a different division, different department. As you said, I was in production. I'm now in marketing and publicity, which is kind of always, I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. And yeah, instead of working at Bloomsbury, I now work at Bonnier Books UK. And instead of working in an academic division, I now work in a kids division. So everything is different.
Was that something that you sort of wanted to move into?
Yeah, definitely. So I did an apprenticeship with Bloomsbury Publishing. So sort of one day a week, I was helping the marketing and publicity departments at Bloomsbury. And with that kind of experience, I was like, actually, this is a lot more me. This is a lot more what I want to do. And I had a bit of adults exposure as well, but the kids was just seemed really, really fun. And I think it's just more like vibrant. It's just more creative. It's just more fun. Like, you're working on little picture books that have like pop-ups and little animals and stuff. Like, how can you complain? It's a lot more exciting than academic.
Yes. And moving from production to a more marketing publicity role, what's entailed within that role?
Oh God, everything.
A snapshot.
So marketing is a lot of social media. It's a lot of digital, like design creation stuff. It's a lot of ads. It's a lot of fancy POS, which stands for point of sale. Mm-hmm. So posters and standees. And then publicity is basically reaching far and wide and being like, hey, you should love our book like we do. So it's contacting influencers, contacting bloggers, contacting press and radio, that kind of thing. And podcasts like yourself.
Yes, indeed. So does the bulk of when you get a book that comes in and your team is now in charge of marketing it, does the bulk of the work go towards the launch and the sort of launch window?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's really weird in publishing in that like everything is focused around the pub day. So the day that it's launched and it's released and it's out into the world for people to buy.
Yeah.
In marketing and PR, it's a lot about planning and leading up to that. So we have a lot of meetings where we discuss and we brainstorm what we think we're going to do. We liaise with other departments such as editorial and be like, has the author got any preference? We liaise with design and that sort of thing and kind of draft how we think is going to be the best cover to get as much like coverage as possible online. And then it's a lot of planning. So it's scheduling social media posts, sending out review copies to people to get reviews in advance. And then the kind of the big crazy bit is the pub day. So we've just had a couple of titles launched recently on our Hockey Books imprint. And it's like all about that. It's all about the buzz. It's out for people to buy now. You have like the pre-order stuff as well, so people can technically buy it before it's out and it will be delivered on the pub day. But yeah, essentially it's kind of like a window of time around the pub day. Sometimes it may be like a week, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's a couple of months, depending on the book really. But yeah, there is kind of like a short, sharp section of when we just push that book.
Right. And is it a team for each book, or is it like you would be assigned a book individually?
Yeah, so we're a pretty small team at Bonnier Books UK, so there's literally only about six of us in the marketing and PR team of kids. So we work really closely together, but we have title allocations. So we look at sort of the next 6 months of the year and we say, who wants to work on this book? Has anyone got any preference? If we're looking at workload, we say, actually, you've not got that many titles this month. Do you want to take it on? So there is a little bit of freedom when we're looking at allocation to say, you know, I really like picture books. I want to work on the template imprint. I really like YA books. I want to work on Hotkey. But we do kind of get a mix because we've got five imprints. So we've got board books, middle grade books, trend based books, YA books, and non-fiction books. So you get a real kind of like mix on what you work on. But in terms of like the allocation and the workload, that is usually a title by title basis on just one person. So there'll be one marketer and one publicist.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. So, but you're saying most of the sort of workload is towards the launch and that window. But then the next 6 months, what's the sort of, how does it work as an ongoing marketing plan? Do you just sort of put a lot of money into it, launch, then the next 6 months, and then sort of have a tiny little drip feed of marketing? Or do you continue to market it indefinitely?
Yeah, no, that first point is quite right, in that we kind of really focus around the pub day and then we kind of drip feed it depending on if there's any like seasonal promotions. Like if we have a really gifty book, Christmas would be a perfect time to push that.
Yeah.
We've got things like, you know, National Penguin Day, National Donut Day, that sort of thing that will link into our book. So we're like, oh, this book is perfect for it. So we'll schedule some social media and stuff. But over time, we'll run out of budget and we'll decide that campaign has come to an end, and we can just sort of analyze it and report back to the other teams and say how it went, if we met our sales targets, that sort of thing. And then yeah, depending on the book, we'll kind of like get the campaign to a close, if you like. It doesn't mean it's totally that's it, we're neglecting the book anymore, because we might have like a backlist title that editorial will come to us and say, you know, this has been on, you know, the news. Can we, you know, do a social media post about it to support? Or it's just gone viral on TikTok. Can we plan something around that? So it's kind of as and when, like ad hoc. But yeah, normally over time we run out of budget. We've kind of done the most that we can to get the audience, and then we start working on the new titles.
Okay, so they kind of go on hiatus, and if there's a reason to put more marketing into them, you do, but other than that, they're sort of dormant.
Yeah. Okay,
that makes sense. Whilst you as a team at Bonnier won't be marketing them, there's, I mean, it's almost like a staple now in the industry that authors are part of their own promotion and marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
How much contact, let's say you're assigned to a book, so one of your books, how much contact do you have with the author?
Yeah, that's a good question. And like I hate to say it, but it does depend on the title.
Okay.
So some titles, like the authors might be really relaxed and really self-serving, and they'll just go and do all of their own stuff and just email us and say, by the way, I've done X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
You might get some authors that like their debut and they need a bit of hand-holding, and they might email us and say, I don't know what to do here. Can you help? You might get some sort of agents as well that obviously have a really close relationship with the authors. The agents might come to us and say, I really want an update. What are we doing for marketing? Can we do this instead? Okay. So it is kind of like we have a lot of communication with them. I would say I email sort of a couple of times per my titles. So sometimes if for PR, like I've got one that I'm working on recently, that they're doing a guest post for like a magazine. So I need to be in contact and say, are you happy to do this? Go back to the article and say, okay, what do we need? When's the deadline? Feed that back to the author. So you kind of act as like the main, like the middleman between kind of like the press and the author. And then like, depending on the author, like you can get really good relationships. They might start tagging you and stuff on social media and dropping you a message just to say what they've been up to and that kind of thing. It's one of the bonuses of when you have like a really close relationship with an author. It's really nice and it seems really kind of like rewarding, and you really want them to do well as well, obviously not just as part of the job, but you have like a connection with them and the book, so you really want them to do well.
Yeah, that's nice. Do you ever because I know that there's some authors are very happy to be on social media and to promote themselves, but then there's also a sort of much more introverted side where there's lots of authors who don't like that kind of thing. Do you ever sort of coach them in using social media and self-promotion and going to in-person events?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we're, you know, marketing and PR, we're known as the people that if you do have problems or if you want to know how to do things, you do come to us, and that's why we're there. TikTok is a fantastic example. Like, that wasn't around X number of years ago.
Yeah.
And that has seen like a crazy amount of success in the book industry. And we've started launching a new TikTok channel for our kids division. And so we're kind of contacting some authors and being like, hey, if you are comfortable, we'd love to get you on, you know, talking about your book, why you think people should buy it, or do like a time lapse of your illustrations or something like that. Some people know TikTok and they're fine to get on with it. But some people, they're like, I have no idea what TikTok is. Can you help? So we've got like a guide for them, content ideas, like how to actually use the app. And then we've done even like internally as well, like TikTok training courses and stuff to get people involved. We're never going to be like, no, you need to just go and fend for yourself and work it out. Like, we're there to support you at the same time. Like, even if it's an author's personal account, you know, they are our author. So we want to support them. We want them to get bigger followers. We want them to post about their book, that kind of thing. So yeah, we're here.
You're there as a support system, because it can be daunting. Do you organize in-person events as well?
We don't, as far as I know. I mean, I've only sort of been here 6-7 months. We've had things like librarians come in and we talk to them about the kind of books that we've got coming up, but we haven't as yet had anything kind of author facing.
Okay, so you mentioned TikTok, and you have been growing your social media presence personally outside of your work with Bonnier, through your YouTube channel, which I think you started it a few months before this podcast started. So they're kind of similar in age. Just to recap, and for anyone who doesn't know what your YouTube channel is, what was the initial idea? Why did you decide to make a YouTube channel?
Yeah, so I was doing an apprenticeship, as I mentioned, to get into publishing. So I didn't go to university. And I was learning so much about all the different departments. And I was like, I want to share this. And I was asked to talk at an online event talking about my role in production at the time. And I was like overwhelmed by the amount of like LinkedIn messages afterwards and messages in the chat and stuff. People like really appreciating me talking about it, and they, you know, they learned things, that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, there's obviously a gap in the knowledge here. And I've said before, like, I was thinking of doing it as a blog, but I just thought no one was going to read that. So I was like, I'll try YouTube. You know, I didn't think that that would be the space for it, but I was like, I'll give it a go for like a couple of videos. If it doesn't do well, then that's it. At least I tried. And then like when I did my first video and there was a lot of like welcome and that kind of thing, I was like, oh, this actually seems like something that people might like. And then it just kind of, yeah, went from there. And then I'm still posting videos sort of every week on publishing. So whether it's interviews with people that work in publishing or tips to get into publishing and the application process, book reviews, behind the scenes, all that jazz.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very similar origin to this podcast where me as a writer went to other events, met other writers, and realized that we all shared a sort of, I think a lot of people write a book and then say, okay, now what do I do with it? And then there's this whole learning curve of how publishing works. I mean, it's a different angle from what you're looking at, but it, generally publishing can be quite a sort of mysterious and shrouded industry that doesn't work necessarily like many other industries.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like I'm still learning stuff. Like, I've been in the industry sort of for over a couple of years now, and people that have been in it for like 20 years, there's still stuff that they don't know, because it is constantly changing. Like, there's always new stuff going on. Like TikTok, for example, like that, as I said, that has done so well for the publishing industry. One of our books just went viral, and that's it. Sales went like massive. So there's always stuff to learn. And I think, yeah, there's not enough information about it out there. Like, there's like 2 textbooks total, that's it. And obviously you have the MA courses, but if people don't want to go to university, like me, I didn't go to university, how do you kind of access that? How do you find out about it unless people are talking about it?
Yeah, of course. So a year and a half after the creation of the channel, are the goals and ideas still the same, or have they sort of evolved as you've gained more experience and knowledge of the industry?
That's a really good question. And I think that, like, same with anything, I'm learning every week from my videos. Like, I analyze them not in as much detail as I used to, but I'm still sort of thinking, did this get enough views? Did this get a lot of engagement? What are people actually interested in? Because it's kind of like an education channel. So it's not just me putting out vlogs all the time and that sort of thing. I don't really care. It's all about me. It's providing like a service, if you like, for other people. So there's no point in me doing it if it's not what people want to learn from. So I've definitely learned a few things, like based on the views and stuff. I think the way that it's going in terms of like, it's still very publishing focused. I think that's still how I want it for now. I still have the interviews like every month with people from the industry. And like, even though they might not perform really well in views, I get a lot of comments and DMs and that sort of thing saying that they found that helpful. So it's hard to kind of weigh up the numerical analytics, if you like the view counts and the likes, compared to the comments and people messaging me privately that you can't sort of analyze. I'm trying to do a lot more like well-being videos as well, so still kind of related to publishing. So it's like books about mental health, or interviews mm-hmm. of people that have done mental health books, or one that I've been editing today is like how you can sort of like look after yourself at work when you work in publishing. And that's kind of like a separate playlist, but still within the channel. So I'm still trying to like build that a little bit more, I guess, as well. But I think overall, it's kind of the main aim is still there to kind of like help people and put out information that I've learned. And for me as well, to learn, like, people might ask me for a certain video if I don't know it. So I have to go and like research it, find out, interview people, that sort of thing, and then put it out there.
So from the YouTube channel, you've also started an Instagram account, a Bookstagram, as they call them, and your own TikTok account, which is predominantly bookie publishing stuff, but you obviously with some personal stuff as well. Was it just a sort of extension of the YouTube channel that you went into those, or was it more of a fun kind of curiosity thing that you've got into them?
Yeah, literally a mix of both. So the Instagram, so my Twitter was the very first thing I started. I started that a couple of years ago to use that as how I'd promote YouTube, because YouTube, you can't like retweet videos, that kind of thing. It's a very kind of like individual experience, whereas like Twitter, obviously it's so collaborative. So I was like, I'll create a Twitter account so I can share my videos in there and people that are on Twitter can go and use that. So I did that, and Twitter is still my main platform. But then I was like, how else can I reach a big audience? So I started the Bookstagram, but I've leaned so much less towards pushing that to the channel and more about my own book reviews, because at the same time as me working in the industry and doing all these videos, like, I still like reading and I still want to share my thoughts and be a part of it from like a blogger's point of view. So a lot of that now is just my own book reviews. And I focus like so little on analytics of that. Like, I don't really care how many likes I get on my Bookstagram posts or anything like that. It's more just for me to look back on the books I've read and how I found them, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the TikTok was because I started this new job, marketing PR, and TikTok is a fairly large part of it. I was like, right, I'm going to have to brush off my TikTok skills. I'm going to have to download the app. I was so like, throughout lockdown, everyone was so obsessed with TikTok. It's all they ever did. And I was like, no, it's a waste of time. I'm not going to fall into that trap. And then I started this job and was like, oh God, I'm going to have to download it.
It's market research.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So now obviously I'm like 2 hours a day just scrolling on TikTok, but still. So
for work, or just addiction?
A mix. Yeah. It starts off at work and then all of a sudden I'm like, why am I looking at puppy videos?
Yeah.
the TikTok is kind of like the same as my Twitter, where it's like, it is mainly bookish, but I will have the odd like personal TikTok on there, because at the same time, it's my channel. So I really like the TikTok now. Like, as reluctant as I was to start it before, I really do like making TikToks, and it's very easy to get new people on there, and it's really like interactive platform. And it obviously, yeah, it really helps me for the work point of view, because we now have a new TikTok channel at work, so it's helped me in that way.
BookTok, I believe.
BookTok is the word, yeah. And it's got, there was an article recently, I can't remember what press outlet it was, but it was like how BookTok has made people start reading so much more. And it was on the news before as well. Like, BookTok is genuinely insane. It's gone crazy.
Yes. It's funny, despite all the negative press, that, you know, there are good things coming out of TikTok, that young people are reading more, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So you've been a member of the Bookstagram BookTok community sort of for a while. Do you have any tips for readers, authors, or whoever on things that you've learned about making content within those communities?
Oh, that's a good question. I have a very specific video if people want to learn how to get free books if they are starting out on Bookstagram. Mm-hmm. So if you literally go on my channel and I've pinned it, it's like how to get free books. And I've kind of given tips there on how to make your Instagram work and what we look for as publishers. So it's things like little things like include your country or your emoji flag in your bio. We need to see where you live, because if you're across the world, we're likely not going to be able to send you one of our books. So put that you've got like a UK flag in there and we can send you something. Things like, showing your likes is quite helpful for us as well, because you might have 10,000 followers, but if you're only getting 50 likes, that's not very good for us, because it means that you obviously haven't got the sort of right audience there. They're not engaged with your content. Uh-huh. Obviously really nice pictures of what we like Bookstagrammable pictures where you've got really nice backgrounds and it's really colorful and that sort of stuff. Especially with kids as well. If you're like a parent or a mummy blogger and you've got a picture of your child holding a book and reading it, like that does wonders for us. I mean, I could go on forever, but there are a few things. Watch that video on how to get free books.
Yes. It's a good, check out the whole channel. There's a lot of really great stuff for anyone looking to work in publishing and also just sort of around publishing. Further onto that, sort of more specifically, do you have advice, because you obviously work with a lot of authors doing this kind of thing, do you have advice that you would give authors wanting to grow their online presence?
Yeah. I think be consistent. So be consistent with your posting, be consistent with your usernames. Like my username is the same across everything. It really helps us when we're tagging you on Twitter posts, Instagram posts, follow us, keep up with stuff. Like be consistent in terms of, liking all of our posts, engage with us. Be consistent. If you are an author and you've just published a book, post when you've got your copies through the post, post when it's pub day, post when, you've seen your review, share it on your stories, that kind of thing. Be really friendly to your publishers as well. If you are published traditionally, like it goes a long way. We're not supposed to have favorites, but the people that really do try, that obviously works really well in our favor. I think it's different. I don't know as much when it's like self-published authors, but you can obviously do similar things, just like reaching out to people on social media. And I also think like respect the other people in the community as well. Like the amount of DMs I've got from authors that are just kind of rudely written, that are just like, review my book now. And it's like, no, that is not how you're going to get a review from me. build like a friendship with people, be respectful to people in the community, engage with people that work at publishing houses and other authors as well. Like don't always look at them as your competition, look at them as kind of like your peers. You're on the same sort of journey together, support each other.
Amazing. That's great advice. I love that. Let's go back to you. Your career, very different sort of from where you were a year ago. What are your plans for the future? Are you happy in this sort of part of publishing? Would you maybe want to move into a different one?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I'm miserable where I am. as I said, like marketing and PR is where I want to be. This is the place for me. I've said before, and I've said to my manager, like there's no part of my job that I have to do where I'm like, oh, I hate doing that. Like genuinely every bit of my job I really like doing. And I think that it's easy for me to see how to progress as well. And I learn from other people and how they sort of work with higher budget campaigns and that sort of thing. So I really like that there's a lot of learning. I really like with marketing and PR as well that you get to be really creative. It's a very social job, if you like. You're constantly talking to different press, you're talking to different bloggers, you're talking to influencers, you're talking to events organizers, and I love all that part of it. Like I'm a very people person. I love chatting to people, so that is definitely where I want to be in future. And I love like growing the YouTube and stuff as well off the back of that. So I'm definitely on the right path, and it'll be good to see where I am sort of like this time of year.
Yeah, we'll do our annual check up on the podcast next year, see where you're at.
For sure.
That's great. Well, you really sell it. Like, you must love the job, because just you talking about it makes me think, well, maybe I should move into publishing.
And that's the thing. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, everyone, if they're like, oh, publishing, they think of editorial. Like, that is, I would hate to work in editorial personally. Like, marketing and PR is the best. Like, you get to just sit and make TikToks all day. I mean, it's not just that, but obviously there is a lot of like the admin side of it. But still, like, I would hate to be an editorial. And I think that people, when they think of books and publishing, that's it. They just think of editing all day. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that's sort of like what some of the stuff I do online can open up to. Actually, there's so much more. And not even my department, like the interviews with like rights assistants and the interviews with like, I don't know, sales executives and that kind of thing. Like, those departments and those roles exist, but you're not going to know unless you sort of see these things online, or you know someone that works in those roles.
Yeah. 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 That makes sense. But editorial is not for you, but I've had some lovely editors who love their jobs on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, you're 100% right. I think when people think, oh, you work in publishing, they think, oh, you're the person that like edits the books that go out into the world and stuff like that. But there are many different divisions. And if you want to hear more about them, you can hear Eleanor's last episode on the podcast, where she attempts to list every different division in publishing. And I think
I forgot I did that. I don't know how good I'd be now.
Speaking of last episode, this would be the time when I would ask you which book you would take to a desert island, but you already chose a book. So last time you took a sort of blanket generic, it was a sort of puzzle or coloring book to the desert island.
Yeah.
Would you stick with that, or now that you're so much older and wiser, would you swap it out for something different?
So much older, so much wiser. I wouldn't bring a fiction book or a non-fiction book. I still wouldn't read a reading book. I'd bring some sort of activity book still. So maybe, yeah, like an activity book or a colouring book or like a wellness book where it's just like CBT throughout. I think if I'm stuck on a desert island and there's no one around me, I need to know how to look after myself. I need to like have some peace. I need to practice some mindfulness, that kind of stuff. So yeah, same sort of lines, but maybe more of like an activity book still.
Okay, but maybe something more sort of meditative. Something
For sure, yeah.
A thinking puzzle.
Yes, for sure.
Sudoku book.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thanks for coming back on the show, Eleanor. It's been great catching up with you, finding out about everything that you've been doing over the past year. Yeah, it's just been really nice chatting.
No, yeah, thanks for asking me again. As I said, we'll do this again next year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year. For anyone listening, to check out Eleanor's YouTube channel, just look up Eleanor Marie Rose on YouTube. There's tons of stuff there for anyone looking to get into the industry, just learn about the industry. It's really, really great and informative stuff. And you can follow her on socials at Eleanor M. Rose E. That's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. To make sure you don't miss an episode of this podcast, follow us on Twitter at Right and Wrong UK and on Instagram at Right and Wrong Podcast. Thanks again to Eleanor, and thanks for everyone who's listening. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for hanging around until the end. If you're interested in starting your own podcast but aren't really sure what that looks like, I can't recommend Zencastr enough. It's so simple to host, record, and download your podcast with, and it even has a built-in transcription AI. It functions entirely in the internet browser, which means all your guests have to do is click on a link and they'll be brought into the conversation. If you click on the link in the description, you'll get 30% off the first 3 months. All you have to do is click on the link in the description. Thanks again for supporting the show, and we'll see you in the next episode.